Okay, we're working again. Alrighty.
And Kenosha had a great team and a good coach, a manager. His name is McManus, I believe. Marty McManus.
Okay.
And he and our manager, Max Carey, were very competitive, fiery managers. Really support their girls and their teams, and in there doing everything they could to win it. Highly competitive.
Okay, do you remember any highlights from that, from the seven game series? Anything that really just sticks out in your mind?
Not really, unless it was, I do believe that Kenosha could have won that series very easily with the, I think one of our girls had a third strike. The catcher missed the ball, and the girl that was struck out got to first base, and somebody came in from third. I do think that either tied the game or won the game. I know we went ahead and won it, but that third strike, I think the game would have been over.
So you can't.
There was something like that. I've forgotten exactly how it went, but I think a third strike was missed by the catcher, and our girl reached first to be safe, and that was one of the, I think that was the catalyst for us winning that series.
Okay.
Connie Wisniewski was the big gun for us during mm-hmm. that series.
I see. I was going to ask you next, were there any stars on your team?
Well, all the girls were good.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that Connie Wisniewski was the number one pitcher, although she herself says Joe Kavick was a better pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And but she won more games than Joe. I think she was just so professional and so tough-minded.
Okay.
And we had this catcher, Dorothy McGuire, call her Mickey McGuire, Irish gal back there behind the plate that was such a strong character. And I knew her job, and she controlled those pitchers. I can remember throwing the ball, and maybe it wasn't where she asked for it. She would haul off and throw that ball back to me and nearly knock me off the mound. I got the message right away or what she wanted. And then we had this little Ziegler out on second base that was the leader, mm-hmm. leader of the pack. And we had some good players, Pat Cagle. We had this the girl that led off. Terry Davis, I believe was her name. She could drag bunt, you know, down first base. She was left-handed, dragged that bunt down first base and beat out so many hits and get on first base, and then she could steal second. She was a base runner.
Hmm.
And so all those combinations made for a winning season.
Oh, okay.
Remind you, there was a Tybee Eisen, a blonde-headed girl from California that came out there in the league and eager to play and eager to learn everything she could about it, and went on to be one of the stars in the league.
Hmm. Alrighty. When you played all your games in the championship, I guess you it says here you played them all in Kenosha.
Yeah.
You didn't play any in Milwaukee, did that?
Yeah, that was because of the fan support.
Mm-hmm. Did that bother you at all, or?
Well, in retrospect, yeah, they should have. If they had an opportunity to see girls play like this, and they may not ever get to see that again, I think it was a unique time.
Mm-hmm.
They should have come out probably and supported us. It was during the war years, and you couldn't go a whole lot of places. There was gasoline rationing and all this stuff, and it didn't cost that much to come out.
Okay.
The girls should have been supported more. I mean, they had the ability there. They had it all going for them.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that would have made you play a little better had you been playing in Milwaukee, or did that matter to you?
I don't know. I doubt that because
okay.
We had such competitive.
Sounds,
Fans weren't that important to us at the time. Later on, a good night. Later on, when we had all those fans piling in those other stadiums, yes, it meant quite a bit.
Okay. Since this was going on during the Second World War,
uh-huh.
I wanted to ask you a couple of questions about that. Did you see your role as a professional baseball player is patriotic at all?
Yes, we did. Before each game, we would line up in a V for victory sign.
Oh, sure.
And all that stuff. And we played a lot of exhibition games for the Soldier Boys and the Sailors. Mm-hmm. And we had these war bond drives and, we were very conscious that there was a war going on and that we did whatever we could. Yeah, we would have a lot of exhibition games for the soldiers.
So you did you see this as contributing to the war effort itself?
I would think so.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
There was one big rally in Chicago there that had thousands and thousands and thousands of people came out to Wrigley Field. They had some movie stars out there, and the girls came out to play. And the people actually booed the movie star. I think it was Victor Mature. They wanted him to get off the field so these girls could play ball. I could not believe that. He was so handsome, and we wanted to watch him, and the people wanted to watch us play ball. I thought they were ignorant. Oh, dear.
Okay.
My own brother was in the service at the time, so
okay.
Yes, I was very much conscious.
Okay.
And some of the girls' husbands. As a matter of fact, Mickey McGuire, I was telling you about that catcher.
Mm-hmm.
Her husband was in the service, and she got word that he had been killed or was missing in action or something.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many of them were married, though. A few girls were married.
That brings me to a scene in the movie, in the locker room, when that woman is informed by the manager that her
mm-hmm.
husband was killed in action.
Uh-huh.
Did that ever happen?
Well,
team,
I think it was based on this incident with Mickey McGuire, and she went out and played ball that night. Yeah, she went out and played a ball and didn't let them announce it until after the game was over. She was that dedicated ball player.
Okay.
And let me tell you this. Her son, Mickey, is dead now. Of course, and been dead I think a few years. But her son was so proud of his mother being this ball player. He comes to all of the reunions. And he communicates with these other girls, and he was up there at that Hall of Fame, and it was so touching the way he looked up at his mother's picture and all this stuff. You could tell he was so proud of her.
Sure.
It was just really touching.
Oh,
of course, we didn't have any little boys on the buses with us. So that was in the movie, but we didn't have children on buses.
Oh.
You remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I remember the the loud one, yeah.
Yeah.
How did you see the role of women in general during the war?
How did I see it? Actually, maybe I wasn't too smart. I do think one time I mentioned to my brother that maybe I should go into the wax or something to help with the effort, and of course he shot that down in a second. I didn't really know why and all that stuff, but he didn't like that idea at all. I don't remember. I know I was concerned about it. I didn't know what our roles would be.
Oh.
Actually, I didn't know too much. I was either rather ignorant or innocent. I hope it was more innocent than ignorant.
Okay. Okay. Okay, you mentioned your brother was in the armed forces.
Yeah, like I said, I came from a big family, and we were all athletically inclined. And he was a boxer.
Oh.
And he was a Golden Gloves champ right before the war. He went to New York, and Golden Gloves was a big thing back that time. And he was a heavyweight or light heavyweight Golden Gloves champion, and he had a lot of bouts, and we were all so proud of him. And a handsome young man. And he went in, when he went into the armed forces, I think they had him go do exhibitions and stuff like that. In the boxing, he was never directly involved in the actual fighting.
Okay.
And I had sisters in my family that were beauty queens. Anything that was competition, they liked it. My family liked competition.
Okay.
I had one sister that's Mrs. America of 1947. I had Miss South Carolina Universe, and all whatever was around at the time in as competition, we were in it.
Oh, okay. Let's see. How did, when Mickey McGuire found that out about her husband? How did the other women on the team react to that?
It was just quiet. She didn't say, or she was just real withdrawn there and quiet, and didn't have much to say about it, except that she was going to play that night and not to say anything about it till after the game was over.
Okay. Did you try to give her a lot of support and everything like that, or?
No, not really. I think we sort of stayed away from her.
Okay. Did
of course, we felt we were in sympathy with her.
Sure.
But we didn't know how to react, I guess.
Did Max or Dottie have to do anything special to handle it, or?
I guess they did. Mm-hmm. I don't remember, but I'm sure they did, because they were understanding and very compassionate people.
Okay. You mentioned that you did some war bond drives.
Yes.
As a member of the team. Was there anything else, any memories of playing that that specifically are associated with the war that come to mind to you?
I remember being in a camp somewhere, I don't know where, and we had played a ball game for the soldiers, and we came into their mess hall to have lunch, and there were prisoners, these young, blue-eyed, blonde-headed boys that looked so young, looked like children almost, that were waiting on us, and we were told not to say anything to them, not to even look at them, just to go right on, you know, pick up our trays and go right on. That's odd. I don't remember where that was. I just remember those, so many of those young, they must have been Germans, boys there that were prisoners of war. And I remember the soldiers were wildly enthusiastic about the girls playing, and they got such a big kick out of us. And they would just cheer us on and really seemed to enjoy our games.
Okay. Let's look at the, after you left Milwaukee, or even after you left the league, what, is there any specific memory of playing in the league that really jumps out at you?
Well, I think it was our spring training in Havana.
Okay.
Maybe winning a game for our Milwaukee team that made us the league champions. I would just happen to be the pitcher that won the game, and Max coming out and hugging me and saying something about me being the sweetheart of the, you know, things like that. I respond to that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Some different personalities respond different ways. And let's see, other memories. Gosh, there's so many flooding that, but most of, some of it's vague now. of the whole seasons are vague. I can't remember this game and that game. And some of these girls that play can actually remember each game, I believe, and go into detail with it.
Did you see, looking back on it, do you see is what you did as being significant at all? For
I think, yes, I do, I think so. I'm glad I was part of it. I appreciate being part of it. I feel lucky that I was part of it.
Okay.
I think going into all these different cities and meeting all these different type people and getting to travel places I probably never would have been able to do, I think it was all very helpful in the way I look at things now.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it did anything for women in general?
You mean at that time?
Yeah, do you think people may have seen women as...
I think they were all shocked, yes,
mm-hmm.
at that when that we could play ball like that, and especially some men, some of the men were very skeptical at first and sarcastic in their remarks when they first came out, but I think we made believers out of all of them. And the men got where they were our biggest supporters, our loudest supporters.
Alrighty. Do you think it's important to do a project like what we're doing to let people know what you did and how you did it and everything about the league?
I think it's worthwhile. Otherwise, people wouldn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't know that that what these women did, and not even realizing at the time it really the impact of what they did accomplish. All this publicity came in, I was emotionally upset by it. I didn't know if I wanted to go back in my memory and
mm-hmm.
drag all this stuff up or not. And I was surprised at how emotional I got about it. I didn't want to go to the Hall of Fame. I just thought, you know, that's in my past, long, long ago past. Let's don't bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
But now, every day, practically, I get some little high school child or a college student to this week that wants me to come out and talk to their teams, or one wants to interview me for a term paper,
mm-hmm.
and that goes on all the time now. So the children are interested,
mm-hmm.
especially the girls are interested. They want to know more about this league and what we did and how we accomplished it and all this stuff. So yeah, I think it's worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the way that you can help people out like that?
I feel good about it. I do. I don't turn anybody down if I can help it. I do anything that's asked of me that I'm capable of doing. I've done quite a bit of it in the last few years, and I'm happy to do it.
Okay. Okay, back on tape. Could you tell me something about some of your teammates in Milwaukee?
Well, let's see. On first base, I believe we had Betty Whiting, and Betty Whiting would just throw her body into into her work and her job, and she would just go pell-mell into second base or whatever and throw her body around, just regardless of the... She was hurt all season long, but she played anyway. I think she had knots and bruises from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. She was that type of player, very physical. And on second was Al Ziggy. And Ziggy was a team leader and cheerleader and very knowledgeable about the game, a smooth player. And Tina Petrus on shortstop was a real, real dependable player, reliable, and that she made very few errors. She usually did the right thing. She was a thinking second shortstop. On third base, Tetzloff, Doris Tetzloff, studious person. Good third baseman with a strong arm. Tybee Eisen in the outfield was always a cheerleader, always gabbing, and very enthusiastic, and had a lot of energy and pep, and could catch those fly balls. Pat Cagle was a long ball hitter, hit those home runs. She's a very feminine-looking lady that played like a man, like a Babe Ruth. She was so strong. And Terry Davis in left, right field. She was the leadoff hitter. Could bunt the ball and get on first. Do anything and everything to get on first base and then steal second. And we had runners on bases and things like that. I believe that takes all of them except the pitching staff. And there was Connie Wisniewski, the big number one, and Joe Kabick, the old reliable, and there was a Sylvia Ronski and Doris Cook besides myself, the old Tommy Thompson. let's see. And, of course, Mickey McGuire, the catcher, real strong, solid, solid catcher, very knowledgeable about the game. That was a good combination.
Oh, okay. When you left the league because, or you stopped playing, was that because, I know we touched on this earlier, but...
It got too hard for me. I couldn't pitch overhand.
I see. And,
I mean, I got out there and tried a few times, but it didn't work.
Mm-hmm. And, but you played in the Chicago league for a while. Now, did you, stop playing, when you got married? Or did you?
No, I came home, but I was like 28. My family, my family wanted me home. They thought it was high time I was getting back home and settle down and get married. And I was about ready to.
Mm-hmm.
The Chicago League was different from the All-American League because we didn't have as many restrictions in the Chicago League. We didn't have the chaperone.
Oh, I see.
And you were more or less on your own up there. And now that's not why I left, but it was just all part of it, and I think it mostly was family pressure.
Mm-hmm. What was if you could compare the two leagues? Was it as much fun? Did you get along with the other players as well? Was it all that?
We got along well. It's just that we weren't as close. We weren't together as much. We did just see each other on the ball fields because in the Chicago League, because we were more scattered out. In the All-American League, it was more family type. We were together a lot more and stayed together a lot more on the buses and in the where we were put in these private homes. We were close together around the ball fields I don't know. I think the All-American League was such a first-rate, high-class organization. Of course, it had all that money behind it, and with Philip Wrigley, the head of it. And, I think it was more ideal for young girls.
Okay. Did you ever talk to any of the administrators of the league? The team owners or anything like that? Did you ever?
Yeah, we saw them occasionally in social situations at the civic meetings, and not too much.
What was your perception of them? Were they pretty cordial to you? Or
yes, mm-hmm. Very civic minded people.
Mm-hmm.
And always treated us nice. And with respect.
Okay.
And very interested. Come out and watch us play every night.
Okay.